Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on this Friday. Tommy Kester, Jacob Albrecht, Jad Chambers producing the program, Paul Savage in with us, TJ Cleland, Brandon Zinner, all in with us from 12 News. It is that time of the week where we always go through our Friday football picks, give you some of the best games of the weekend, both in college and in the NFL, and give you our picks on how we think things are going to pan out. Jad, I don't know if you have, we didn't talk about it, I don't know if you have the standings from last week pulled up and ready to go.
But, I did.
Okay, so how did things pan out last week for all of us?
Well, I got to say, the story of last week was TJ. That actually worked out really well. TJ had a really awful start to the year, but has been kind of hanging around, and then won last week at 5-1.
Okay.
He jumped over you and took sole possession of second place. So TJ, right now, starting to do quite a bit better. Jacob, Tommy, you guys are tied third place. Or fourth place, however you know.
Tied for third. Let's say that.
Go, I think go that's ahead a good, and say tied for yeah, third as opposed to tied for fourth.
Right.
Okay. That's fine. And then Jacob, you're one of the tied. Brandon, you're still a ways behind.
Bringing up the rear there, unfortunately.
Yeah, 18 yeah. and 34. But really, nobody's threatening Paul.
Nobody.
Everybody is a couple of weeks' worth of games away from threatening Paul. So
Yeah, I know.
If you're going to make a run, got to do it now.
Now's the time. Bring it on.
TJ, I got to tell you, my favorite part about the fact that you went 5-1 last week is that that wasn't even the lead from Jad. The lead was how awful of a start of the year you had. I love that.
That's fair. It's how bad it was. I would do it too.
Yeah. All right. Well, sounds good. Well, we've got six games to choose from this week, three college games and three NFL games. As I mentioned, all five of us are here. Jacob is on the phone joining us on his way to the airport. So we've got everybody here. We're ready to go. Jad, let's go ahead and hit the music, and we will get right into our picks of the week. We will start on the college ranks, and this is probably the game of the weekend nationally. You've got Ohio State, Penn State. This is interesting because both of these teams feel like that they've got a pretty solid claim to not only in the Big Ten, not only playing for a Big Ten title, but also going to the college football playoff and maybe even winning a national championship. Penn State, 3.5-point dogs. This one's really going to be interesting. I'm a little bit surprised that the spread is where it is. Jacob, I know you're on the phone with us right now. Let's start with you. What do you like in this matchup?
I like Will Howard. Statement game. Will Howard's chance for revenge. I think Ohio State is just better than Penn State. I know they've had some quarterback injury issues. I'm going to take the Buckeyes here. I know it's a road game. I know it's big. I think they're better. And go Will Howard, right? Let's go with the Buckeyes.
Yeah, that margin for Ohio State really is not very big as far as, you know, continuing on in as a top five team, top three team. Both teams obviously have to have it for the college football playoff. But I think the pressure is, you know, definitely on the shoulders of Ohio State. Paul, how about you?
Well, I like this game. This is going to be an entertaining game to watch. It's going to be a physical game, which I always enjoy. Penn State at home. It's not an easy place to play. Happy Valley is not so happy if you're usually the other team. This is a tough one for me, but 3.5 points. If it was 2.5, Tommy, I probably wouldn't take them. But that 3.5 might be just enough for Penn State at home at Happy Valley. I'm taking Penn State. Probably a dumb pick, but I've got a few picks I can throw against the wall and not worry.
Hey, you're right, though, in the fact that Happy Valley is always a difficult environment to play in. And when you've got a spread that is more than a field goal,
that's
interesting. TJ, let's go to you next.
Yeah, talking about Happy Valley, I think that if this was going to be a night game, I think that I might have leaned the other way as well because, you know, having it at noon, everybody's tired. The college kids aren't as ramped up. It's not going to be as loud as it would be as a night game. And I like Ohio State, you know, what they're a half second away from being the number one team in the country still. If Will Howard just slid a second earlier, they probably would have won that game. They're still probably number one right there. So I'm going to take the 3.5. Lay 3.5.
Okay, lay the 3.5 with Ohio State. Brandon, how about you? You've got some ground to make up. What do you like here?
I was going to do the strategy of riding Paul, but he just said he made a pretty dumb pick, so that would be pretty dumb of me to tell that. And also, Penn State, we don't know who their quarterback is going to be this week. Drew Aller, we're not sure if he's going to play. That's going to change things for Penn State if he doesn't go. I think Ohio State could take this one. It's going to be a close one, but Buckeyes have a tougher path to the playoff with their schedule than Penn State. Penn State can afford to lose another one, get to the Big Ten championship, I think. Give me the Buckeyes.
All right, so it's up to me. I'm the final pick here to prevent Paul from potentially starting things off with a Penn State island, a home island in Happy Valley. That's
with points.
With points.
Ah!
You know, I like all the reasons that you guys listed with Ohio State. I like those reasons, and honestly, if I wasn't trying to prevent an island, I probably would have agreed with you. I'm going to take Paul.
There
I'm going
to
go, go with Paul. I'm going to go with his
guy. I can't
blame you. I'm going to take Penn State. I'll take the points. You know, and really, I do like, honestly, Paul, I like the assessment of if it was 2.5, it'd probably be different.
I wouldn't do it.
But 3.5 getting within that field goal, if Penn State can, you know, keep it within that field goal late in the game at Happy Valley, I mean,
that's what I'm thinking.
I think, honestly, the way to go. So I'm gonna join you, prevent you from getting that island.
It was
so
good for you.
3 on Ohio State, 2 on Penn State. Let's go into the Big 12. Texas Tech, Iowa State. This one's a really interesting line. Jacob, I'm going to, you know, we'll get to you in just a second. In fact, you'll pick last here. But you and I talked earlier this week about this line, about where it started, and about how, you know, really Texas Tech is not given much respect in this game. So I'm really interested to hear your pick, Jacob, at the end. But Paul, let's start with you. Iowa State laying 13.5 at home in Ames. What do you like here?
I did a double take on the points. I hadn't really followed that spread this week, so I took a double take when I got the message from Jacob. This is a pick and this is the points. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
Is Iowa State that good? I mean, they're good.
They're a top 10 team.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah. They're a good team. But 13.5 points is a lot. You know something? I'm tempted to take – this is at Iowa State.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Iowa State. I just literally, right in front of you guys, talked myself out of taking Texas Tech and 13.5 points. I'm going to take Iowa State.
It's an interesting line because it is within 2 touchdowns. It's less than 14 points. TJ, does that play into it at all in your mind?
I think that the reason that Texas Tech isn't getting any respect on this line is because they don't deserve any respect. They lost to Baylor by 34. They just lost to TCU this last week. Sorry, Paul, I know you're wearing your Baylor sweatshirt today. Iowa State's going to dog Texas Tech in this game. I would take it minus 20, maybe.
Okay. All right, Brandon, do you agree with that, or are you going Texas Tech in the points?
I absolutely hate this game, hate this line and everything, but there's just no confidence in me to pick Texas Tech. And I got to try to catch up to Paul somehow. So we're gonna keep riding the points with Paul. Give me the Cyclones.
You know, it's a Texas Tech team that, while TJ, you're right, I mean, they lost to Baylor, they lost to TCU, they've kind of fallen apart as of late. They do have the capacity and they've got the talent to be able to put up points and to be able to win games. It's been a Jekyll and Hyde type season, I think, for the Red Raiders. I'm gonna lean with you guys. I think that Iowa State, especially at home in Ames, and knowing the way that Texas Tech has played lately, I'm gonna take the Cyclones. I'll lay the 13.5. You know, it's tough because of the number of points, but I'm gonna join you guys with that. Jacob, you've got a chance here for a Texas Tech island. I think you're probably drooling to take that island. Am I wrong?
I am. I don't know how to, you know, TJ's logic of the Penn State fans being too hungover to be a factor is interesting here, because I know how Iowa State fans like to party on the early game. Yeah, I'll take Tech. Look, the only thing that concerns me about it is that Iowa State had a bye week last week, but Iowa State snuck UCF at home. You know, they barely beat Iowa. I don't think they're quite as good as to be almost a 2-touchdown favorite against the middle of the road Big 12. So I'm gonna take Tech. They've been Jekyll and Hyde. Maybe we'll catch Jekyll this week.
That's honestly not a bad pick, just because of the number of points. And there's a lot. I mean, this could be a backdoor cover game. I mean, there's no way around that. So that's interesting. We've got 2 islands in our first 2 games. Let's go to our 3rd college game. This is the game that, of course, locally we're paying the closest attention to. Kansas State on the road at Houston. You know, with this game, again, it's another big spread. We're talking 13 points for the Wildcats going to Houston. We know they probably don't have the firepower. The Cougars don't have the firepower to match up against the Wildcats. But I don't know. It's hard to discount what Willie Fritz can do in these games. And by the way, Houston beat Utah a week ago. TJ, let's start with you. What do you like in this game?
As much as I want to pick Houston just for the fact that Willie Fritz being a Pitt State gorilla, I don't think I can do it. K-State, it's the storybook that they do every single year where they're going to drop one early in Big 12 play or one in the non-conference, and they're going to find a way to just absolutely shove at the end of the season and be in the conversation to play in Arlington. It's following suit. They got to win out pretty much. I think it starts this week.
Brandon, how about you? Do you think this could be potentially an emotional letdown game for the Wildcats after the Sunflower Showdown last week?
Yeah, this is a tough one, especially because, I mean, they had we hear Klieman talk about it all the time, the late Saturday game. They're late getting in Sunday. They kind of lose almost a whole day of prep there. It's going to be nasty weather, it looks like, down in Houston, too. Could be a big factor, but I just think this K-State team is in too good of a spot. I think we're going to see a lot more Dylan Edwards now that we're into the final 4 weeks of the season. I think they kind of wanted to keep that card close to the vest a little bit for one reason or another. He's averaging almost 7 yards a touch. Unbelievable. I think he gets one or two this weekend. Give me the Cats.
You know, I think that the definitely the recipe for success for Kansas State in this game, guys, is to control the clock and to keep the ball, to have as many possessions as possible, to force three and outs against this Houston offense that is not very good. The longer that the Wildcats possess the ball, the better off they're going to be, especially in a situation if the weather is bad down in Houston. If they can do that, I think that they could win by multiple touchdowns. I think they will do that because I just don't think that Houston can keep up with what Kansas State wants to do. I'm going to take the Wildcats as well. I'll lay the 13. Jacob, how about you? What do you think?
I think I'm all over the Wildcats in this one. I just don't think Houston's very good, and I think it's a really bad matchup stylistically for Houston. So I'm taking the Cats. I'm not thinking twice about it. That'll be actual money for me this weekend on K-State.
Paul, you've got another opportunity for an island here with the home Houston Cougars. 13 points you can take and get an island. This is a Houston team that just beat Utah by a field goal last week. Are you going to ride that island, or are you going to join us with Kansas State?
Well, this is not Fantasy Island. This is Gilligan's Island. That's what this is right here. This is not a good island. I do not like this island.
Okay.
This is a tough island.
You're not going to take this island?
I would under normal stances, except Houston stinks.
Yeah.
Houston?
They just beat Utah, though.
Well, every once in a while, Utah is not the team we thought
they were going to be either. They're not.
We thought they were going to be pretty good, and they're not very good either. So I'm not going to take Houston. I'm going to make this a sweep. I hate to do this, and I'll make this prediction. K-State doesn't throw the football over a dozen times. They're going to pound this ball. They're going to be able to run the football. They're going to get this game over. It's going to be a short game because there's going to be a lot of running of the football. Clock won't stop a whole lot. I'm going to go ahead and take K-State. This game will be over quick, and there won't hardly be any passes by Kansas State. It's going to be a run game, and why shouldn't it be? I'm taking the Cats.
Wow, so a clean sweep. Jad, I've got a project for you. I don't know how many sweeps, if any, we've had this year in these picks. Like, it's probably few and far between. I mean, not to do it right now, but I'd love to know
at some point
how many sweeps we've actually had.
That'd be interesting.
That's interesting. Let's go to our NFL picks here in this game. So we're going to go Miami and Buffalo. Brandon, let's start with you. The Bills are laying 6 points at home against a Miami team that is sputtering, but they do have Tua back at this point. The Bills are clearly, I think, the arrows pointed upward. Do you like laying that 6 points knowing that it's within a touchdown?
This Buffalo team is just clicking on all cylinders. They've struggled the first half of their last couple games. But also, when you just look at this matchup, when the Dolphins are fully healthy, the Bills have won 6 of 8. And I think they've covered in 5 of those 8 as well, if I'm not mistaken. I just do not like where this Dolphins team is at all. I love the Bills. This is probably going to be a real money play for me. Give me the Bills.
All right. Jacob, how about you? Are you laying the points with Buffalo, or do you think that the Dolphins can get it done?
Oh, my. I've really struggled with this one. This is why I put this one on here. Miami's desperate. I think they're desperate to make some big plays, and I think Buffalo is due for a little bit of a letdown. I think I'm going to take the points here. I wish I had a weather forecast in front of me, but if they want anything this season, they're desperate for a right-now game. They got embarrassed against Buffalo the last time they played, so I'm going to take the points here and take Miami.
Paul, how about you?
This is the easiest game of the week. I can't believe Jacob's making, you know, like this is a tough game to pick. This seems to be, to me, to be a pretty easy pick. The consistency of Buffalo has been really interesting. Miami's had its share of problems. I mean, I've enjoyed the Miami Dolphins having watched them in Hard Knocks, in-season Hard Knocks, and you get to know a little about them. I like the coach. I like his style. Tua worries me. I mean, Tua is literally, guys, one slide away from, you know, being done with football for the rest of his life. That worries me if you're a Miami fan. But and we hope that nothing happens to Tua. But I worry about the guy. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think it's enough money to play when you have a family like him. But anyway, with that being said, I'm going to take the Bills in what I perceive as the easiest pick of the week.
I think there's an argument to be made, too, that, you know, you said he's one slide away from being done with football.
That's right.
That slide may have already happened, and he should be done.
You know,
already.
That is an I think that's
against the Bills, too.
Against the Bills, 100%.
And that is an excellent point, yes.
I'm going to go next, and then we don't have TJ for the remainder of the picks, so I've got his picks, and I'll let you guys know what he ends up picking here. But for me, I agree about Buffalo. And I'm going to say that it's due large in part to Amari Cooper, but not because I think Cooper is going to have a huge game. I think it's because him just being on the field allows those other wide receivers to get theirs a whole lot more. And that certainly helps Josh Allen significantly. It takes pressure off of James Cook as well and that defense. I think the Bills have too much firepower. I'm going to take Buffalo as well. TJ is also taking Buffalo. That means that Jacob gets an island there with Miami and the points on the road. We'll see how that pans out. This is, in my opinion, the game of the weekend, the one that I'm most excited for. Detroit and Green Bay in Lambeau, inside Lambeau. The Packers are 2.5-point home dogs against Detroit. Jacob, I think you are kicking us off and starting things off with us. What do you like in this game?
I'm gonna, for all the reasons PJ Glasser talked to us yesterday, if you didn't hear his breakdown of that game, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. This has been a really good spot for the Packers historically under this new regime. I'm gonna just assume Jordan Love plays and is okay, and in that situation, I'll take the home points in a game against between two really good teams.
All right, Paul, let's have you go next. In this game, in this matchup, you've got Green Bay as home dogs against a Detroit team that I know you love. Any concerns about, I know it's always been this narrative about Jared Goff playing outdoors. Any concerns with you about that?
No, not really. I mean, granted, here again, I'd like to know what the weather is. The weather's been brought up several times, and we know it can be kind of nasty in Green Bay. Hopefully it's still early enough in the year it won't be, but I don't think it would matter to the Detroit Lions anyway. I'm going to take Detroit just because they're a solid football team, fellas. They're a solid football. Are they spectacular in anything? No, but I think their defensive line could be borderline spectacular. But do they have that star? Is Goff a star? Is he considered?
He's borderline star. I would say he's approaching that category.
But this is that team. It's a team. And that's right. What Dan Campbell believes in. Team football. I'm taking Detroit. I think this could easily be a 10 or 12 point game.
This is the hardest game, I think, of the week for me to pick, at least, because both of these teams are really good. And what throws a wrench into it, in my opinion, is that it's a divisional matchup. And sometimes divisional matchups get kind of screwy. You're talking about the best division in the NFL. You're talking about two teams that not only feel like they should win the division, but they also could be legitimate contenders for a Super Bowl, especially Detroit. I'm going to actually, as much as I do like the Lions and as much as I like what they've done offensively, I think I'm going to take the Packers. I'm going to take the home points.
Okay.
They just have that, I think, that capacity to be able to make it close, number one, but outright win the game, number two. I'm going to lean towards Green Bay at Lambeau, and I'll take the points. Brandon, how about you?
Now, Paul, there is two areas that the Lions are spectacular in. It's their offensive line, and it's their running back duo of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. And also, this is something that no one has brought up. The Lions almost basically got a bye week last week. They beat the Titans by 50 or had basically that whole game in cruise control. I think they were able to rest a lot of guys, and I just like where this team is at. I think they're going to be able to go in, run the ball, and do enough to cover against a spotty, injured Jordan Love, giving the Lions.
It's a 2-2 tie. Jacob and I are both on Green Bay. Paul and Brandon are both on Detroit. TJ is going to break the tie and take the Packers, as well as myself and Jacob. Our final game that we'll pick this week is the Monday night primetime matchup. The Chiefs back inside Arrowhead. It's been a minute since they've been at Arrowhead, taking on the Buccaneers led by Baker Mayfield. They're dealing with some injuries. Of course, Chris Godwin is done for the year and all of that. The Chiefs are laying 8.5 points. Paul, let's start with you. It's a lot of points for Kansas City, but they're back at home against a Buccaneers team that is banged up, but they're probably, outside of the Falcons, the best team in the NFC South. What do you like?
How much pressure can the Chiefs get on Baker Mayfield? That's my question. I think a good amount. Is it enough? It probably will be. For that matter, and I'm going basically with the defense for Kansas City. Although, how can I say that when you got a Patrick Mahomes at quarterback? But I think you get my drift. Right now, I like the way the Chiefs are playing. I'm going to go ahead and take the Chiefs, although I'm not comfortable with the 8.5. It's a home game. That helps me a little bit. But quite frankly, this game just boils down to how well will Baker Mayfield throw the football and control the football and keep the football out of the hands of Patrick Mahomes. Baker Mayfield is the key. I don't have near as much confidence in him as I do the guys up front for Kansas City.
I like Baker Mayfield a lot. I like the Buccaneers a lot. I liked them last year. I like them this year. They're a fun team, and they definitely have the capacity to be a playoff team yet again this year, despite their injuries. That being said, though, I'm leaning on one thing here, that the Chiefs continue to cover the number. They have covered the number in every game but one this season. Because of that, well, I take that back. They didn't cover against the Raiders, so every game but two. But that was another huge spread. This spread is a little bit smaller. I'm going to lean on the Chiefs just because they've done pretty well this year in covering the spread. So I'll take the Chiefs. I'll lay the 8.5. Brandon, how about you?
Yeah, how about that backdoor cover last week by the Raiders?
Yeah.
I love that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and I mean, Baker has thrown 7 interceptions in his last 3 games. The injuries are starting to just come apart for the Bucs. I think the Chiefs team is in a good spot to come home. Their offense, they're putting up points. They're averaging 26 points, I think, the last 4 weeks now. Too much leaning the Chiefs this way. Give me the Chiefs.
All right, so TJ is also picking the Chiefs. So, Jacob, that means that you've got a chance at another island here. I think that would be, what, island number 3? For you this week, if you take the Bucs and take the points on the road, what do you think?
Oh, you got to do it. You just got to do it. Come on.
I hate the line. I mean, I hate the line a lot. I think it's too big. I think that the Buccaneers, even injured, are better than the Raiders, but the Chiefs are at home. I think the Buccaneers can throw to the backs, which has, you know, always been challenging for the Chiefs, and I think they've, you know, got a tight end they're featuring, which has been a, you know, problem for the Chiefs. I can't go against the Chiefs' defense this time at home, and I do think that they can move it around a little bit. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I'm not going to do
wow.
it.
Wow!
Wow!
Boy, I want to. And
three
I think
islands.
I think I was on an island with the Raiders last week too. And
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm just at home, I can't do it with the Buccaneers and all the injuries they have. I got to take the Chiefs. I don't like this. I don't like this line though at all.
You know, I mentioned just a few minutes ago that I don't know how many sweeps we've had, and now we had 2 this week. Jad, do you have that number?
Yeah, this is the first time this year that we've had 2 sweeps
okay.
in a week. But back in week 2, all the way back in week 2, everybody picked the Lions over the Rams.
Okay, that was our only other sweep.
That's the only
had.
Other
That's
one.
It?
Yeah, that is
wow,
it.
I didn't wow. even realize
okay,
that.
Okay,
wow.
So now we've got 3 overall for the entire year because of 2 this week.
That's amazing.
That has not happened this year at all with us.
Also, looking at everybody's picks, it has surprised me how many times Jacob and Tommy pick the opposite from one another. They don't go together on a whole lot of picks I've been looking at. And what is it this week? Let me look into it this
well,
week.
Well, I mean, I think the reasoning behind that, it's pretty simple. I mean, Jacob's terrible at this.
Yeah, we have the same record. Is that correct?
I guess we do have the
yeah,
same record.
You have the same record.
Yeah,
but we're not picking the same teams to get there.
Yeah. No, not very. Now this week, I think it's 3-3. You've tied with three times you've picked the same, and 3 times you haven't.
We've got a couple of islands this week. We've got a couple of sweeps this week. We'll see how it all pans out on our Friday football picks. Brandon, appreciate your time. Are you headed to the golf course? Looks like you're on your way.
How'd you know?
I mean, you're dressed like it. Bundle up. I mean, it's getting a little chilly out there, but it should be a beautiful afternoon, though, for some golf.
Yeah, we're going to try to go low and stay warm. We'll do it.
All right, Jacob, enjoy your trip, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Sounds good, fellas.
All right, we're going to take a timeout on the other side. Paul returns. TJ will rejoin us as we get into Ketchik, Kansas, and talk high school football, and the playoffs are underway. We'll do that on the other side. It's Sports Daily. We're coming right back.
Easy, we're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on KFH. Just a reminder that tomorrow we've got the Kansas State game on the road at Houston right here on KFH. Of course, you can listen on your radio, 97.5 and 1240. You can also pull up the free Odyssey app and join Wyatt and Stan and all of the action as the Wildcats travel to Houston tomorrow afternoon, of course, right here on KFH. We're talking high school football now. TJ Cleland rejoins us from Ketchik, Kansas and 12 News to talk about the playoffs. We are there, TJ. The brackets have been out for a week or so. It's that weird time with the brackets where you've got, you know, 1 versus 16 matchups and 2 versus 15 matchups and all of that. So I'm sure it could be a little bit difficult to try to find really compelling matchups in this first round of the playoffs, but from a top view level down, and we're talking about any class, 6A all the way down, are there some good matchups that you're looking at for this weekend?
Yeah, there's some real kind of hidden gems, you know, like you said, especially in, you know, class 6A, 5A, 4A, they don't do the regions like the smallest classes do. So pretty much everybody kind of makes a playoff. So you're going to get some lopsided. You're going to get some, you know, 8-0s versus 0-8s, everything like that to start. But sometimes you're going to get, like our game of the week, it's Hayes coming to Andover. Two teams that are 4-4, and it's really interesting because of the way that they do this. I just literally had to hop off the show to go Zoom Tony Crow, the head coach of Hayes, so I feel like I'm Adam Schefter here coming straight back. but when you look at these, they're both teams, they're 4-4. Hayes has lost to Derby, Manhattan, Great Bend, and Liberal on a last-second fluke thing. Andover has lost by less than a score to, you know, Capen and Goddard and Eisenhower. And it's unreal, the resumes that these guys have. Coach Crow just told me, he's like, this makes you really wish that they had a committee like college basketball because all of their losses are quad one losses.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm looking at that bracket right now, and it's interesting because, you know, of course, you've got some Thursday night games that, you know, obviously have taken place already. Goddard Eisenhower, they beat Emporia last night, final score of 55-10. So, you know, in that whole bracket, I mean, you're talking Andover and Hayes. You've also got some other matchups like Bishop Carroll going on the road to Liberal. You know, so there are some really intriguing matchups, Mays South and Salina Central, the 7-10 matchup. But at least the one game, TJ, that we got last night in 5A, the two seed Eisenhower, they're moving on to the next round.
Yeah, they're really good, frankly. That's the best way to put it. Carter Papps is probably the best wide receiver you're going to find in the state, in my opinion, at least the ones that I've seen. You know, there's some that are on the east side probably going Division I or big Division I, everything like that. He's going to North Dakota, and I really think that just watching him, I think that his stock could be so much higher than North Dakota. No offense to them or anything like that, but he's a Power 5 wide receiver. You know, we watched a highlight. Every time I think about Carter Papps, I'm going to think about the highlight that we saw last week. He caught a ball, got clocked, his helmet came off, and still got 5 more yards after contact. If that tells you anything about how tough a wide receiver he is. I think they're really good. They're going to be a team that's going to go really, really late into this bracket. I like Great Bend a lot. They're going to go really deep into this bracket. And it's going to be a really interesting 5A, as it always is.
You know, it's obvious because of the format, Tommy.
Your mic is off. There you go.
Oh, sorry about that. It's very interesting, partly because when you look at these brackets right now, the first round, Tommy, is always going to be, you're going to have those matchups that seem way out of whack, but that's the nature of these many teams in a playoff. Everybody's going to get one against 16. There's not going to be a lot of games. You're going to have a lot of great games right in the middle. Those teams that with the middle seeds, you're going to have some really good, close, hard fought victories. But I want to ask you, TJ, the one game where you have a 1 and a 16, or a 2 and a 15, or a 3 and a 13, give me that one game where you go, You know, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody other than that higher ranked team wins this game. Do you have that? Do you have that game? Do you have one of those?
It's tough, especially in the way that high school football is this year. Especially, I mean, when you look at the one and the twos on our side, you know, you've got Derby at the number one. I don't think Derby's going to lose. I don't think that Great Bend is going to lose. They're the one. And so it always is fun to look at those and everything like that. And there always is a chance. But I think that this year, with the amount of strength that we have towards the top, because I think that, you know, the one seed in 6A is Derby. They're the best team in 6A. 5A, Great Bend. They're at least top two, top three in 5A. So the teams that we have that are number one and number two are going to be really, really good. So I don't think that this is the year that we see anything like that happen.
All right.
Let's drop down to 3A really quick, TJ. Going through the brackets, one thing that is really interesting to me is that you've got Andale, you've got Collegiate, you've got Cheney that are all on the same side of the 3A bracket in that particular region. So there are going to be, I mean, you would think, conceivably, some pretty big matchups regarding one of those three teams earlier in the playoffs than what we would see before we get down to, you know, close to the finals or the semifinals. Was that interesting to you when you saw the way that bracket fell in 3A?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, obviously 5A and 6A is probably where we're going to find the most talent on the field for some of these matchups. 3A is the sicko bracket where there's always good teams and there's always, because of the region, the seeding's all out of whack and you're going to have fun matchups pretty much the entire way through. You know, you're going to have second round matchups of, I think, Cheney Collegiate play in the second round if they both win, which is a game that could be the state championship, honestly. That's going to be a really, really good one. 3A is going to be so much fun because you name those three, Pratt, Collegiate, and Cheney. Were last week, Andale is undefeated, Cheney has one loss, Pratt has two losses to Collegiate and Cheney. You look at Heston, who was undefeated, just lost to Andale. They're another team. And Heston, they go 7-1, and the way that this works is they get to play against the greatest tight end in probably Kansas history this week, as Lincoln Keir is coming to Heston. Goodwin looking for their first playoff win in 20 years, I think. They're a really good team, obviously, with the talent that they have. A couple kids going to play college football, and obviously a five-star tight end. So weird things can happen. Heston's a really good team, too. 3A West is going to be awesome the entire way through. We're going to have matchups. Next week, they're going to be state championship matchups. They're going to have a week after that, they're going to be state championship matchups. And it felt like 2 years ago, it was always going to be Andale's to lose. It felt like that last year until it happened. Now we know Andale can lose, and it's just a matter of, are they going to? And if they do, who's it going to be to?
You know, I'm going to ask you about a question about how the sausage is made, if that's all right. I'm going to – here's my question.
I would be careful about the way you ask that. That could get really dangerous.
I got you. I understand that. But, you know, with the way things are, you know, for your TV station, you've got to make some tough choices because you only have X amount of time, and I'm talking about the 10 o'clock broadcast, that kind of thing. What are you going to show? What are you going to emphasize? How do you want to portray the playoffs? How do you pick what games you want to air? Is it got to be competitive? Is it going to be one of those middle rounds that's competitive? Or do you show something on Derby? Because let's face it, that's not going to be – that game could easily be 70-0, as you know. How do you go in – what goes into making the choice as to what do you at KWCH – what do you highlight?
Yeah, it's tough. You're right. You know, and it is definitely every Sunday afternoon. I go in there, I turn on some NFL football, and I just, you know, walk in, get the entire slate, write down all of our top, you know, ranked teams, kind of who they're playing against. And then I kind of just start going through and highlight and kind of ranking them, you know, 1 through 10 or whatever, how many we're going to get. I think tonight we're getting a little bit of volleyball too. So we're going to be light on the football side, but we're still going to have a lot of stuff. State volleyball going on tonight too. But you know, going through them, and you're right, you know, Derby's a team. We do all this game of the week and we really kind of, you know, pomp and circumstance, doing all these live shots at their place and doing a whole bunch of stuff, kind of playing it up and talking to the coaches beforehand. We haven't talked to Derby yet because Derby beats everybody by 50 points.
Yeah.
So it really is kind of interesting, and we're kind of just banking on, we're going to talk to them eventually because they're going to be a team that's going to be playing deep in the playoffs. We're going to talk to these teams eventually. So, we haven't doubled down once. I think that this week we're going to talk to Andover for the second time, and that's the only team that we've talked to twice. We haven't been in the same stadium twice. And that really kind of shows how, you know, deep of great matchups that we've had this year. And I can see that continue to keep going on. But as you said, you know, trying to keep them competitive, especially towards the top, we want two teams that are going to, you know, be a one possession game, that are both going to have some crazy talent and everything like that. And then going down, we just kind of give the best show. You know, we're trying to get Derby on there. We can watch Dasan and Brain play. We're trying to watch this kid play that's going to be playing on Saturdays, everything like that. You know, just being a guy that watches a lot of football, just what's going to entertain me is kind of what it is.
Very good.
TJ Cleland from Ketchup, Kansas, and 12 News joining us here on Sports Daily. You mentioned playing on Saturdays. TJ, one more for you before we get you out of here. Northwest is the 3 seed in 6A. They're playing at home tonight against Southeast. And the guy under center, Jalen Mason, committed to the Jayhawks earlier this week. He chose Kansas over schools like Iowa State and Liberty. He's a junior. He's led Northwest to a 7-1 record so far this season. It's a pretty exciting commitment for Lance Leipold and the Jayhawks. Is this a guy that can be an impact player for Kansas, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I talked to some of the guys that work for, you know, 24/7 Sports that'll be out recruiting at these games and everything. Jalen Mason is a guy that a lot of people don't remember. My first year covering high school football in the area, he was at Mays. He was the freshman behind Avery Johnson. He was the one that was backing up Avery Johnson, got to learn under him, came in a couple of times in some of the blowouts and just kind of showed what he could do. And it was somebody that was just like, this kid, you know, he's got some potential. He's super fast. He can throw the ball and he's, you know, 6'3" or whatever he is. You know, this could be somebody that could be something. Ends up transferring to Northwest last year, kind of gets in there, gets a little bit of play, shares some time with Jace Glasper, but still it's just like, you know, this kid is going to be something special. And these guys are coming out and talking to him after the games. And I think he's the top rated quarterback in 2026. And it's for a reason. You know, he still found a way to kind of fly under the radar, in my opinion. He only had those 3 offers that you named, had a ton of, you know, scouted from all over the country and everything like that. But I think that he's going to fit in right where they like to do it. You know, you look at Jalen Daniels, you look at Isaiah Marshall, who's coming up next. You know, he could be the one behind Isaiah Marshall and just keep the lineage going. And if, you know, obviously their offense is kind of clicking. If you look at KU's numbers, I know a lot of fans want to fire the offensive coordinator, but we're not going to get into that. the way that they do things, they dual threat everything. They run that option so well. Jalen Mason is a guy that you could kind of probably not plug and play. He's a 17-year-old, but by the time he gets up there, you can plug and play him and get in there.
Let's see how deep he can lead Northwest in the state playoffs. And, of course, a lot of it gets going tonight. There were a couple of games in the brackets last night, but the full slate is completed today, and then we'll move on to the next round. TJ, before we let you go, where can folks find you? What do you guys have going on at Ketchup, Kansas?
Absolutely. Rachel Hallam back with us this week, going out to our game of the week. As I said, Hayes versus Andover. We're going to have live coverage starting at 4:30. Every about 30 minutes, we'll have a live hit from her. Then we'll have our live 12 News kickoff show here on 12 News Connected, if you're watching here, talking about our favorite matchups, making some picks as we do every week. I think I've gotten hot recently. Zinner's gotten cold, as he has on this show as well. So gonna have a bunch of fun there. Catch a Kansas show 10:35. As I said, we're gonna have some state volleyball, everything like that as well. So should be a really fun day. The playoffs just to amplify everything, and it's just a lot more fun to do it whenever it's win or go home time. It's more fun for us too.
100%. And of course, like you mentioned, all the results on the Catch a Kansas show. You can also go online, ketchupkansas.com, to get all of the info. And then of course we'll talk to you again next week for our Friday football picks and talk about the second round of the playoffs. Enjoy it, good luck, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right. There goes TJ Cleland from 12 News, Ketchup, Kansas, here on this Friday edition of Sports Daily. We'll step aside for a timeout. On the other side, we'll have our final full segment, talk about some of the other big things going on this weekend, whether it's in college football or the NFL. We'll do that on the other side. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, in for Jacob Albrecht as we finish this Friday. Jad Chambers producing. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Our thanks to TJ Cleland from Ketchup, Kansas, and 12 News, talking about the high school football playoffs getting going this weekend. We'll, of course, have an update from him next Friday as we get into the second round of the playoffs. You can go back and listen to our entire discussion about high school football on the free Odyssey app. Paul, we've got a couple of minutes before we wrap up the program, and I know we'll discuss this more in the days to come, but we're only a couple of days away from all 3 of our local D1 college teams.
Oh, there we go.
tipping off their basketball season. You've got Wichita State and Kansas both tipping off on Monday night, and then Kansas State tips off inside Bramlage on Tuesday night, taking on New Orleans. Wichita State on the road at Western Kentucky, and Kansas starts things off inside Allen Fieldhouse Monday night against Howard. I asked you this question during the break. Out of those three teams, which one are you most excited to see play in their opening matchup, either on Monday or Tuesday night?
Well, I think it's got to be KU. I think it's KU, but I'm really interested in Wichita State. Here's the problem with Wichita State is I don't have a grasp for this team yet. I mean, you know, it wasn't a great preseason matchup, and the same with KU, obviously, was not a great matchup. I don't know about those two teams. I've got to see them start playing somebody.
Sure.
And then I'll have a better feeling. But I guess if I had to say, it'd be Wichita State, because there's some questions that I personally have that I'm not familiar with on this team. I want to see these kids play together. I want to see Paul Mills and his philosophy. We just talked to him, two days ago?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
And so I agree with his philosophies. I like the way he is approaching this basketball. I like the way he is approaching the AAC. I like everything about it. I need to see it, and we need to see it with some good competition. Wichita State's going to jump into it pretty quick.
Yeah.
By the way, don't sleep on Western Kentucky. Right. This is not a bad basketball team.
What's their mascot? Are they the Hilltoppers? Is that Western Kentucky? What are they? I think that's what they are.
But
Wichita State, they're the only team out of the three that we just brought up, between them, KU, and K-State, that goes on the road for their opening game. Mm-hmm. They're on the road at Western Kentucky.
Right.
On Monday night, and of course, KU and K-State both are at home to start off their seasons. I think for me, it's Wichita State. And that's an easy answer, at least for me, because Kansas, you know, they've got newcomers. They've built up depth. They've got some new guys that I want to see how they contribute, like A.J. Storr and Ryland Griffin and David Coit and some of those other guys. But we know, by and large, their talent level. We know Hunter Dickinson. We know DeJuan Harris. We know all of that. And that's great. Kansas State has brand new talent as well that I think it's going to make them a really exciting team. But for Wichita State, the optimism I think is there that there is going to be, or at least there should be, a major step forward in the growth of this program in year number two under Paul Mills. They've got newcomers that have been able to come in, and I feel like really amp up the energy level and the excitement and the optimism around this team. And I would imagine that that's something that Paul Mills discussed when he was on earlier this week.
Yeah, and I was really excited to see in the preseason game that Corey Mills had a really good game, shot the ball well. Corey Washington. Because we interviewed him, two weeks ago?
Yeah.
And he was a nice young man. I enjoyed the interview. It's good to see him do well. Shot well from the three, shot well from the field, defended fairly well from what I could tell from the stats. Did not see the game, but evidently I'm sure he played well. So I'm kind of curious as to Wichita State. They're the team that I want to see. There could be a really upside that we don't know. It all depends on how this team comes together, how quickly they buy into Coach Mills and what he's selling and what he wants them to do. The sooner they buy in, the better this team is going to be. There's no telling. And by the way, I think for the three teams in the state of Kansas, the three major teams, Wichita State has the possibility of more growth than the other two teams, because the other two teams are already pretty good. They're going to be good. We know they're going to be good. But Wichita State is a question mark for me. I'm sure it's somewhat of a question mark.
It is a little bit, but it's more of a I think an optimistic question mark,
because
I like the talent that Paul Mills has assembled this season.
Right.
It's just a question of
how fast
and how much growth from year one to year two. Kansas State has guys like Coleman Hawkins that I think is set to be their leader of the team, especially offensively. Brendan Housen, we talked about yesterday, him shooting the three ball a lot in their exhibition game against Fort Hays State. So that's all going to be a lot of fun. And then of course we just know the tremendous talent that the Jayhawks have this year. And that will continue. A reminder, we will have Shocker Basketball on the airwaves Monday night on our sister station, 103.7 KEYN, on the road at Western Kentucky with Mike Kennedy. We'll talk more about that game on Monday night. And then Kansas State Tuesday night right here on KFH with Wyatt Thompson. All right, we're going to take our final timeout of the program and of the week. On the other side, we'll tell you what's coming up on the network today and this weekend. Don't go away. Sports Daily, it's coming right back.